Father, this morning as you hear names being lifted up just from this teeny tiny church in teeny tiny Kennard, Indiana. It's just as important, it's just as loud as any prayer that's being shouted on a street corner or from the largest church in America with the greatest sound system. We don't even need to whisper it. We just have to think of it in our heart. And you know our hearts. So, Father, this morning we are thanking you in advance for the prayers that we're offering, that they'll be answered. Maybe not exactly as we would hope, but exactly as your will would have it, in exactly the time that you would want it. So, Father, not only do we pray for these situations, these people, we pray for your patience while we wait. And as your word says, as we wait, we will renew our strength, because waiting gets tiring. Waiting gets hard. Waiting makes us weak. But you'll renew our strength like wings on the eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We'll even walk and not faint. That's our prayer this morning. And now may you bless the message from your word, that all may be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If I was to give a title to today's message, it would be Back in the Building. because for the first time in a long time, that's exactly what we're doing. We're back in the building. And what I realized is I've taken some things for granted. I've known this all throughout my life, I guess. Maybe you have too. But especially, there's something I've taken for granted. And I'll get to that specific thing that's for today's message in just a moment. But I've taken things for granted. For instance, hair. I've taken hair for granted. When I was in high school and such, even this is while Jan and I were dating, way back in the early 70s, and I'm talking 1970s for you kids. Thank you, Missy. But I can remember going to the barber shop, and they would have to use thinning shears on my hair because it was so thick. So it was long and thick. They might have used those thinning shears a little too much. I may have to go back to my barber and ask some things. But you know, it seems like over the years, I've taken advantage, again, taken for granted that I would always have hair. Well, my hair receded, and the hairline receded, and the waistline exceeded. I took for granted that I'd be able to go into a men's clothing store and find something. Now I have to go to the tent and awning company, and it's all special made for me. Something else I've taken for granted most of my life was my vision. You know, I had never had trouble with my eyes, never had been to an eye doctor, never had looked at an eye chart until I was age 40. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like I noticed that as I would look at real small letters, particularly like on the back of a medicine bottle or something like that, I could hardly see it. I'd have to get it right under the light, and then eventually I couldn't see it, no matter how much light there was. Took my vision, my good vision, for granted. Well, and you know, it's been about a year and a half ago now. Most of you that have been around me know that I've lost the use, most of the use, or a good bit of the use of my right arm. I can get it up to about shoulder height. I can't reach behind my back. My wrist doesn't turn right, doesn't pivot all the way. There's all kinds of complications with my arm, all having to do with a work-related injury some year and a half ago. Well, I took for granted that I would have two good arms, those types of things. Well, here's my question to you. What have you taken for granted? What do you take for granted? You know, we've met in this building every year, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We never gave it a thought, did we? Church was always going to be open come Sunday morning. And until March the 8th, I believe it was, that was a Sunday, and we had to cancel church The government said we need to do something to stop this virus from spreading. And so we're asking everybody, businesses, churches, schools, restaurants, the whole bit, we want everyone just to stay at home. And it'll probably just last a couple weeks. You know, well, we've closed the church doors before. It's been a snowstorm. And we maybe had to close the door for a Sunday or two. And we thought in a couple weeks this would all be over. And guess what? Here it is. It's 3 months later, and we're finally back in church. And many congregations are not back. Mount Zion, the Utens are connected with Mount Zion and have been for years. It's not open yet. It's a much, much bigger church. That's probably one of the reasons. But I know of other smaller churches still that don't feel safe opening yet. Well, for the first time ever, we have had to deal with the government telling us we can't go to church. And again, I've taken it for granted that we could just go. But it made me kind of have a sense of what it must be like for many Christians around the world who this is an everyday thing. This is a lifetime thing. Not getting to go to an open church, that's just normal. Having to meet in secret, having to hide, having to fear what the government will do if they catch you having gone to church. Well, you know, it's easy, but it's not just church that we can take for granted. All of God's provisions that he's given us, his gifts, his good things, we can easily take those for granted, can we not? I'm preaching to me this morning, for sure, and maybe to some of you. You know, he knows everything that's going on, and he provides us with things, but sometimes we take it for granted. And I've just listed a few here. For instance, when my belly is full, I don't think about the grocery store or the restaurant or what Jan's fixing for the next meal. Well, yeah, I do, actually. I'm constantly thinking, even when my belly's full. But when I feel well physically, there's no sneezing or coughing, there's no fever, there's no aches and pains. I tell you what, I don't think about the doctor. When my relationship was good with my wife, I don't think about a divorce lawyer. Well, now let's move right on here. Actually, I'll go back to what I mentioned with my hair at the beginning. Jan told me, I can't remember if it was when we were dating or if this is when we were first married. She says, now, if you ever lose your hair, I'm divorcing you. So while I'm not thinking about a divorce lawyer, she might have someone on retainer. When I have a job, I don't think about going to websites like Monster, Indeed, or Career Builder. When I have peace of mind, I don't think about drugs or alcohol or food. That would be my drug of choice. Hey, when the car starts and it's running good, I don't think about a mechanic. When life is going just fine, it could be easy not to think about God. But he knows this is our human nature. Where we're going to go in Scripture is the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament. And I'm going to read a story from there about God was getting ready to bring the Israelites into the Promised Land. But he wanted them not to forget where they had been, where they had come from, and what God was getting ready to provide them. He didn't want them to take this coming provision for granted. And so what he's going to say in the Scripture that we get to read this morning, he's going to say, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Because that's the start of how we take things for granted. We forget where the provision came from. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first 12 verses is what I'm going to read. And I'm going to read all this, but really it's going to come right down to the very end as to the one sentence that I'm going to focus on. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your grandchildren must fear the Lord, your God, as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life, not a bad promise. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And the area that they were about to inherit, move into, was a land that was occupied with people who believed in many gods. In fact, almost everybody other than the Israelites had multiple gods. But he says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Hey, tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig. And you will eat from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. Here's the key part of all these verses I'm reading. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord. When we're full, and I'm not talking about biscuits and gravy full, I'm talking about full in every area of life, it's easy to forget the Lord. And so we can use the same reminder that Moses gave to the people, God through Moses gave to the people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, before they entered this promised land. He says, put post-it notes everywhere. write it on the palm of your hand, a verse of scripture, or a memory of something God has done. Every time you open up the refrigerator, there's a little post-it note about God's provision. Every time you go to start the car, there's a post-it note about God's provision. Do whatever it takes to not forget. Because here's what God knows about human nature is when you have eaten your full, when you're fully satisfied, it's going to be easy for you to forget me. It's pretty neat what God was, his provision for these people were. This land that was promised to them, can you imagine? It says a land that was large and it was prosperous with cities that they didn't build. The land they were about to inherit, see, these guys were, they lived with agricultural type of work. They put up tents wherever they went, and as the animals would graze, they'd have to move to another piece of land to where they could sustain their life. Now they were moving to something less of a rental and now more of home ownership. But it was a whole town. It was towns. It was a whole land full of things. It says, it's going to be large and prosperous cities that you did not build. It's a done deal. It's move-in ready, they might say, in the real estate business today. And then the other thing it says that God's providing when they move into this land is the houses individually are going to be stocked with goods they didn't produce. I mean, the refrigerator is full. Freezer, full. Pantry, full. And we need to go to the grocery. No, we don't. Everything's full. We can just move right in. Start cooking right now. The water had to be something precious, no matter where you are in the world. But particularly in that part of the world, and the wells were already dug. The work was already done. All they have to do is get a cup and take a drink. And then the vineyards and the olive groves. Everything was already established. They didn't have to wait and plant little saplings of things and then wait a few years before it really starts to produce. These things were producing already. Life was good. Life was going to be good for these Israelites. And remember what their past was? Wilderness. Wandering in the wilderness, 40 years. Some of you aren't even 40. Can you imagine even whatever age you are? Andrew's in seventh grade. Can you imagine having just wandered up through junior high age? Probably not. And that's what these people had done. And they were going to get it good. They were going to get it good. Well, here's the thing, and we don't have time for the whole story now, but I can tell you this. All that Moses told the people, write it down, write it everywhere, talk about it over and over, talk about it as you're coming and going, when you get up, when you go to bed, everything, make sure you keep this because I don't want you to forget. Well, guess what? We don't have to read very much further in the Bible to find out what happened. And they forgot. They were taken from about as bad of a situation as you can get in and put in about as good of a situation as you can have. And it didn't take long for them to forget. Forget God, forget His provisions. Well, here's what I wrote down. Bad Israelites. Silly Israelites, dumb Israelites. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe before I or we start pointing the fingers at them, we should look in the mirror and ask ourselves, have we done this or are we doing it? What have we taken for granted? More specifically, have we taken for granted God Himself? Have we taken God for granted, just in general? Have we taken His provisions for granted? Think about what you do have right now. Have we taken His protection for granted? Even without the police force right here or in our lives this very moment, without the National Guard surrounding this church, protecting it, God's protecting us in all kinds of ways. As we drive from here, from this church to home, you know, God's protection may be with you in ways you don't even know. Yeah, you can see the National Guard surrounding the monuments in Washington, D.C., but do you know that there might be angels surrounding us as we're going from place to place? And even if something happens, an accident happens, some detergent splashes in your eye, God's protection was there. Wasn't in both eyes. There was a provision of medicine to help heal that problem. Do we take for granted God's power? Do we take for granted God's peace? Do we take for granted God's presence? How about this one? Have we taken for granted God's word? Do we look at his word, read his word throughout the week, or is this something of an accessory for Sunday coming to church? Or is it something to look nice on a tabletop, on a coffee table? And you know, things are easier today than ever when it comes to God's word. I've got a big lumpy, because remember my eyes aren't that great. I've got a great big large print Bible, and it's got all kinds of commentary stuff in it. So that thing's heavy at times. But on the cell phone, and most of us have a phone or one of those smartphones, that God's word is right there. It's easy to get to for us. And do we take his word for granted? You know, there's some places around the world that they don't have a Bible, number one. And I've heard and read stories where there are some places where they only have pages of the Bible. They don't even know exactly. They might be missing all kinds of things between this page and that page. But they'll take those pages and they'll read God's word for what they have. And we can easily take for granted the fact that we have multiple Bibles maybe in our house. If you don't have them in the house, go to Walmart. You can get one there. And for free, you can get it right off the internet. Let me finish up with this. You know, maybe we've taken for granted God, his provisions, his protection, his power, his peace, his presence, his word. But most of all, have you taken his son for granted? God, Jesus is God in the flesh. He came down from heaven. He gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins. And you know, in our church here, in most churches, there's a cross somewhere. In this sanctuary alone, there are crosses everywhere. On the ends of the pews, there are crosses. There's the stained glass windows almost has a look of a cross, the blue coloring of the stained glass. There are crosses everywhere. And right behind us, there's a cross on the pulpit. There's a cross on the wall back there that's got the light behind it. And you know how pretty it is? Look how smooth the wood is. And we've got a symbol of the crown of thorns. But that wasn't the cross Jesus died on, was it? It wasn't planed smooth. It wasn't sanded. It wasn't stained nice. It wasn't something nice to carry. It was a rough, rough tree. Anyhow, he gave his life on that cross to pay for my sins, your sins. And then he rose the third day and sits at the right hand of the Father, even right now, interceding for us. And if we need help with what to say to the Son to eventually get to the Father, the Holy Spirit is our helper. And the Holy Spirit is the one that once we're saved, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's an immediate thing. We don't have to wait a few days. We don't have to order it on Amazon. The Holy Spirit comes immediately, and it does all kinds of wonderful things for us. That could be multiple messages. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, here's what else the Holy Spirit does. Hey, Pete. Are you there? Hey, Glenn. Bob. Missy. He's knocking on the door. He's not busting it down with some thing like you see on the cop shows where they can tear down a door in an instant, come in and get the bad guys. He's just knocking softly. And if we've not been saved, we might hear that knock in our spirit. We might feel that knock even in our heart. I remember as before I was ever saved, the knocking on the heart's door for me was all even a pounding of my heart. It's like I was feeling my respiration system was even being changed. The Holy Spirit, if you haven't been saved, is knocking at your heart's door to offer this free gift of salvation. And then Jesus is just waiting to hear our confession and our repentance. He says, don't take for granted that you will have another opportunity to be saved. So I'm asking you, those that are here, those that are watching on Facebook, I'm asking anyone that is in the sound of my voice, would you ask Jesus to be your Savior right now if you haven't? Would you answer the door? Would you answer that knocking door and ask Jesus to come into your heart? If you've already done that, then just never forget where salvation came from and everything else we've talked about today. Don't take our Lord for granted. Bob, don't take the Lord for granted. Let's pray. And if you got a song for us to sing, we'll sing this song and then I'll pray for us. What's the number?